Hey, it's John Reed and Cody McClure. Fox Sports, Knoxville, we getting money for sure. Cause we're addicted to sports. Louis V on my shorts. Been a Tennessee Vol since I hopped off the porch. Hey, Reggie White and Allen Houston, Florida, Georgia. Keep it moving, this is Rocky Top. You ain't wearing orange, what you doing? We talking UT sports in the booth. Chris Lauken with the shot, yeah, we ready to shoot. Hey, we talking, we talking, we talking, we talking, we talking, we talking,
we talking sports, eh?
We talking, we talking, we talking, we talking, we talking, we talking,
we talking sports, eh?
Talk sports, talk sports.
Hour three kicking off from Fan Run Studios. If you're missing the first 2 hours, check out the podcast, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, FoxSportsKnoxville.com, powered by 245 Tech. If you are a business owner and you have a website and you do business on your website, 245 Tech should become your best friend. Jam-packed hour three. We got headlines, winners and losers. Buy or sell with Travis McKinney of the McKinney team. Pump the brakes or keep rolling. Ah, Cody, just jumpstart hour three headlines. Go now, 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 now.
Thank you, John.
What are you waiting on?
Coach
we
Rick
go.
Barnes. Thanks, John.
I said hurry
Coach Rick,
up.
Coach Rick Barnes has been named the national
You're
coach
welcome.
Of... Rick Barnes has been named National Coach of the Year by the U.S. Basketball Writers Association. As I'm seeing all of these reporters tweet out at the exact same time. How many reporters do you need for one team? I mean, obviously you need Trey Wallace, but other than Trey Wallace, like, how many do we need? And we need Jesse Simon because we like him.
He is an ally of the show.
Right. But I'm just, maybe I just follow too many people. Maybe it's my fault.
Nah.
I've seen this like 90 times in a row now.
Yeah. I mean, I don't follow very many media people, but it still gets like retweeted and shared on the timeline. But I mean, you need different voices, so I'm not going to be mad about that because then people would say, well, how many radio stations do you need in town? And then they'd be like, well,
one.
We got the big one that's partnered with the university. Now, granted, if we're going to do one, I think that we should be the one to pick, but it's nice to have different voices because if they were only trying to have one radio station, we'd get squeezed out.
Well, yeah, but we do have only two sports stations, right? Whereas
yeah,
with all these other online publications and
sure.
blogs and this and that. I mean, you got like a lot of outlets. I'm not complaining about it. I mean, everybody, these people
there
do jobs.
There are just a lot of media people here. I mean, when you add in the three TV networks too.
Yeah. Everybody needs jobs, so it's no big deal. Anyway, though, as all those people have let us know, Rick Barnes is the U.S. Basketball Writers Association Coach of America Award winner for National Coach of the Year. So good for him.
Cool.
WrestleMania 35 will feature the first ever women's main event when Ronda Rousey, Becky Lynch, and Charlotte Flair battle for the women's championship. The Raw Women's Championship. So there's two different women's championships? Is
yeah.
That? Okay. They'll battle for the Raw Women's Championship. The first ever, officially announced by WWE, first ever women's main event at WrestleMania.
How about that?
How about that?
They had kind of held off on making the announcement. I thought maybe you would see Daniel Bryan and Kofi because that's probably the hottest storyline right now is Kofi Kingston trying to get into the title picture. The women's has cooled down a little bit, but the star power overall is the biggest in the women's. You got obviously the daughter of Ric Flair, so maybe he'll have something to do there. I don't think he will, but maybe. He at least got the name. You got Ronda Rousey. And you have Becky Lynch, who's been the hottest star over the last probably 7 months at this point.
Rick Barnes apparently won
Maybe not that long. Maybe it's only been like 5 months she's been the hottest.
Coach of the Year by a big margin. It wasn't even close for
Rick
Barnes.
Well, when we saw those top four, like the four finalists, you saw that like, hey.
Well, now that was for the Naismith, right?
Oh,
that's the
one.
Main one.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
But maybe he'll win that one too.
He might.
And good for him if he does. That'd be cool. So what, final four, or Becky, who?
Oh, no.
What?
No,
main event?
Yeah. Becky, Ronda, Charlotte.
You behind it?
I think it'll be a great match. Like I said, it's been the hottest angle over the last 3 or 4 months.
As the main event, though,
I'm okay with it.
Okay, I am too.
I don't know what else it would be. Lesnar, Rollins. I'm tired of Brock. I don't want him to be closing the show. Brian, Kofi, maybe.
Who are the old guys that are wrestling this year?
Just Triple H and Batista. You can't let them main event. There's not really any other options. There's a lot of good matches, but there's nothing that...
Undertaker doing anything this year?
Maybe, but he hasn't showed up.
How many?
WrestleMania is only like 2 weeks away.
Is he not retired?
He comes back every
WWE is the worst about retiring superstars, and then they come back.
He never officially retired. He never had a retirement match. He did do the weird thing where he left his glove and hat and jacket in the ring, which kind of signified that he was retiring, but...
It's so stupid that they made him lose, what, like 3 times at WrestleMania?
I think just twice.
After Lesnar?
I think just twice.
Randy Orton?
I think he's only lost... What? No. He's only
Lesnar?
I think he's only lost to Lesnar and Roman Reigns, I think.
Roman Reigns?
I think.
Undertaker lost to Roman Reigns. It's pathetic.
And then Roman Reigns came out and maybe had the best promo of his career where he just said one line.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Got really booed. It was one of the best moments of WWE the last 8 years, probably.
You sure he didn't lose to Randy Orton?
Not at WrestleMania. No, he hasn't fought. Not since he lost to Orton, no. No, I could name you all of his matches. That's when I first started watching wrestling again. It was around like 2 months before that WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I was really lonely in Ohio. Had no friends, nothing to do, so I was like, hey, I'll just start watching wrestling again.
Just watch some wrestling. Makes sense. LSU is the only school in America this year to win a New Year's Six bowl game and have a team in the Sweet 16.
Who was that?
LSU. Apparently their gymnastics team also won the SEC championship.
Good for them.
New Year's Six bowl and Sweet 16.
Their baseball team, I think, is also like top 10 in the country, right?
I'm sure.
Hey, what did our baseball team do this weekend, by the way? I saw we won game one.
I saw they won.
Well, I know they won game one.
Series? Hang on, I'll find it for you.
I know they won game one, but then everyone got kind of busy with the tournament. They got 5 losses, so I'm guessing they lost 2 of 3. I'm guessing. Might be wrong. They won 2 of 3?
Yeah.
Let's go!
They won 6-3 yesterday to get the series win.
All right.
After a 15-5 win on Friday and a 3-2 loss on Saturday.
All right.
And that was against South Carolina.
All right, all right, all right.
Number 24 in the country, South Carolina. So back on Tennessee baseball being good, I nailed it. Great prediction by me.
Where was Tennessee ranked heading into that tournament? Or that other tournament, the weekend series?
They were in the top 25.
So we were still in the top 25?
I believe so. Let me go check.
Like in the 20s range.
I thought so, too.
Yeah, like right at 20.
Okay.
So they beat ETSU midweek and then, yeah, won the series.
2 out of 3. You can't punish them for winning the series, so they'll stay in the top 25. And is Vanderbilt any good anymore at baseball?
Yes. 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
I don't think Vanderbilt is still good at baseball. They're not ranked in the top 25, at least. Unless they just don't put the rankings on the future opponents.
I think they just don't put the rankings on the future opponents.
I think you're right because none of the Tennessee's remaining SEC opponents are ranked, and I know that can't be true.
I've heard Vandy's pretty good.
Okay, well, never mind.
ETSU first this week. That's the midweek game. Why do they do those midweek games against bad teams?
I guess to keep the bullpen active. Like, I don't know. Like, I guess
it's just a thing they do in baseball. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. It'd be weird, like, if they only played weekend series, I guess.
I guess. I mean, football only plays one game a week.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe the arms. I have no clue. I don't know.
It looks like Vanderbilt
ETSU, Belmont, Lipscomb.
Currently fourth in the country.
Vanderbilt is?
Yeah.
That wasn't my fault. UTSports.com did not have a number next to their name. Good job by you, Cody, for knowing. That's not my fault. UT Sports does not have them ranked on their schedule. But then as I scrolled down, I saw they had no other SEC opponents ranked, and I knew that couldn't be right.
In another ranking, I'm finding them at 8. I think baseball rankings are all over the place.
Okay.
So that's a really big – well, they have like, what, 3 or 4 different polls they go by. That's a really big series, though, this weekend in Nashville.
I mean, Tennessee really probably needs to win 2 of them. That's asking a lot. But, I mean, if you don't win 2 of them, you'll be, what, 3 and 5?
Well, Vandy's one of the best teams in the country.
Well, I know, but you don't want to be – I mean, right now you're, what, 2-4 in the SEC? So if you only win one, you'll be 3-6?
That's I'm just saying good. If you win one against Vandy, though,
okay,
there's plenty of other opportunities to win two or win three.
Okay, so winning one's good enough? Okay.
I mean, against a team like Vandy.
Okay.
Right? I mean, you'd like to see them just win the series. That'd be awesome.
Maybe one's good enough.
If they win two, they win the series.
You get any more headlines?
Yeah. The Robert Kraft, apparently people have started a petition for Procter and Gamble to pull Gillette's name from the Patriots Stadium. Robert Kraft continues to deal with fallout from his legal issues with the whole brothel and all that. And apparently not only is he facing these charges, but people around the country are now asking Procter & Gamble to pull the Gillette name off of the Patriots Stadium in Foxborough.
That seems odd.
A petition was started to pull the name as of Sunday. Nearly 20,000 people had signed, asking the company to drop the Gillette name. Why is that a thing? It was renamed Gillette Stadium in 2003. The company had agreed to a 15-year deal with Procter & Gamble. Gillette, later purchased by Procter & Gamble. New deal hammered out through 2031. The best men can be. Oh, yeah, here's what the petition says. Gillette, the company behind popular shaving and personal care products.
Gillette, the best a man can get, right?
The best men can be.
What?
Is its current tagline.
They change it? Oh, they change it from the best a man can get?
But more than just a tagline, the statement represents the brand's commitment to promoting healthy representations of what masculinity means. A decision made in response to the hashtag MeToo movement and news story showing men not behaving their best.
Okay, that's fine.
I don't know. Apparently Gillette is offensive.
Okay. Winners and losers of the weekend next. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. No, Ben Lee, it's time for winners and losers. Should have just brought us in with that music. Hit the music, please.
Winners and losers, winners and losers, winners and losers, and winners and losers, winners, losers.
All right, Cody, let's start with you. Who were your... Three winners of the weekend.
Sorry, I jumped the gun there. Number three winner for me, Liberty. Liberty, Liberty, Liberty. God, I hate that. I saw people making that joke. I wanted to shoot myself. Liberty, the number three winner of the weekend for their first round victory over Mississippi State. Liberty closed the year strong, winning their conference tournament by beating Lipscomb or Belmont or one of those teams, and then to beat Mississippi State, at least get one first-round win. We got to hear about Liberty. Congrats. They almost beat Virginia Tech. Not quite good enough. Number two winner for me, Taco Fall, the 7'6" Central Florida player, center. Pretty sure he's a center.
What do you think he is, a point guard?
Shooting guard who dominated the paint for a good majority of that game. Now, I got to say, the main reason Taco's a winner is simply because of the fact that he got to be on that national stage. Everybody was looking at him. Everybody was talking about him. And I think that's good for him because being a 7'6" player like that, even though you shine all the time in your conference, it's not that often you get to do it on a national stage against Duke. I think people got to see just how special Taco is. He's not all that great for being a guy, but 7'6", though, some of those dunks where he just doesn't even jump, you know, ball just goes in his hand and he just lays it in, just, you know, pretty cool, pretty cool. Although Zion did make a play on him to foul him out, you remember, late in that game.
Yeah.
But it was cool just seeing him there. So I call him a winner just for being on my TV.
I mean, it was a good weekend for him.
He's a giant.
It was a good weekend for him. That was the first time a lot of people has probably got a chance to watch him.
Yeah. First time I have.
Hey, look, everybody, the freak's here.
Was that clip going around? Now, this may be a really dumb question.
No, I know what you're going to ask, and I was curious, too. I think the answer is yes.
Was Zion?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask if that was Taco.
I thought maybe that was a young Zion.
No, that was not Zion.
I thought it could have been a young Zion.
No. The fat kid is not
Zion.
So
it is a dumb question.
I thought you were going to ask if that was actually Taco.
I thought maybe it was like eighth grade Zion or something.
No. I don't think
before he hit his growth spurt.
Were you hoping that there was still hope for you, like that you could turn into Zion? Like, what is happening
here? No,
like,
I just thought maybe it was before he hit his growth spurt, or who knows.
That kid does not. You can't morph from that to Zion.
You could.
You can't go from obese kid to greatest athlete in college basketball.
Zion's
right
kind of fat. I mean, for
Zion's thick, he ain't fat.
For being a chubby, he's got some fat on him still. For being a chubby eighth grader, I could see that transition happening.
Okay, yes, that was a very dumb question.
Okay. Well, who was that kid? I love that kid, though. That was,
I don't know who it is. I'm assuming that kid is not playing.
He's trying to deal with Taco in the paint.
I'm assuming that kid is not playing college basketball anywhere.
Probably not.
Just assuming. I might be wrong.
Number one winner, those who just pick good teams in their brackets. The ones who don't overthink it, and they're just like, 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4. Yeah, it looks good. Yeah. Congrats to those people. They got pretty good-looking brackets right now.
Every year I say that's what I'm going to do, just as a protest. Every year I'm just going to pick all chalk, and then I'm going to win, and everyone's going to laugh at me at first, but then I'm going to win, and then I'm going to get the last laugh. And every year I do something dumb, like Nevada and Maryland to the Elite Eight.
As long as you keep those Final Four teams alive, that's all.
No, everyone's going to have the same Final Fours.
We do.
I mean, maybe I'll beat you overall if Gonzaga wins the championship.
Well, yeah. Maybe. I got Duke. See, that's going to be my problem. I should have picked a different champion because everybody's got Duke.
Yeah. So. All right, my biggest winners of the weekend, number three, got to go with Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd is now in line for two coaching jobs in the state of California. I don't know if you saw where Cal's players basically staged a coup. The Cal Athletic Department was going to keep Joaquin Jones. Even after going 8-23 this year, they were going to keep him. But the players said, nope, if you keep him, we're all transferring. So they said, all right, Joaquin, you're out of here. Now apparently they want to hire Jason Kidd, who of course went to Cal and is probably the best basketball player they've ever had. They want him, but apparently according to Wojnarowski, so do the Los Angeles Lakers. Jason Kidd and LeBron James are boys. Jason Kidd has LeBron James's respect, so he is probably first in line to get that Lakers job. So Jason Kidd's a big winner of the weekend, tied to two jobs in California. Number two, my biggest winner of the weekend, got to go with Sam Maxwell. Sam Maxwell, do you know who that is? I didn't either before today, but now I do. Sam Maxwell is a boxer. Apparently he's been a champion before, and now he's a champion after he was losing his championship fight with Sabri Cedary over the weekend. And Sabri Cedary was up big in points and was peacocking the last minute of the 12th round, just clucking around, dancing, look at me, here's my chin, you can't hit it, here's my chin, you can't hit it. And Sam Maxwell knocked him out and won in the 12th round. Landed a punch to knock him out in the final 30 seconds of the fight. Big win for him. Much like you, Cody, my biggest winner of the weekend, basketball blue bloods. Basketball blue bloods. Everyone's still alive.
Yep.
The big dogs are still eating in this tournament. Hurry, give me your losers of the weekend.
All right, losers for me. Number three, Buffalo. Had them going to the Elite Eight, and not just me, but I think a lot of people picked them to go far. I thought they were really good. They just got dismantled by Texas Tech yesterday. And that's a team that was like 32-3 coming into that game against Texas Tech. Basically just showed, hey, Buffalo hadn't played anybody. They're not that great. They averaged like 85 points a game. Texas Tech shut them down. Buffalo, number three loser. Number two loser, Georgia Racists, a fraternity at the University of Georgia, has been temporarily suspended after a video circulated on social media showing several people mocking slavery, one using the N-word. Frat bros at Georgia, racist, very racist at Georgia.
If I was a Georgia football player, I would transfer right now. I would not.
Now's
you
the time.
Have to stop and think what you have to do. You have to take a stand against racism. You can't enable that. And now that this video has come out, which, oh, by the way, remember the Georgia baseball player who ran off Justin Fields? Seems like Georgia's just got a whole bunch of racists. It is time to take a stand, Georgia football team. Transfer. You'll get immediately eligible. And, I mean, right up the road, you got a pretty good SEC school that isn't racist.
Right.
Should have took a stronger stance on that Snapchat blackface thing.
We did have that.
Should have took a stronger stance on that one.
We did have that going around.
For the Crews.
But that was, we've condemned that.
We are not for it.
Most everyone at the university has condemned that.
That wasn't what I understand, either. That was just random guys. A
couple of guys. From what I understand about this Georgia story, and granted, I haven't read more than the first paragraph, but from what I understand, people are supporting these racists.
Leave Georgia. Stand up for yourself. People, make a stand, Georgia football players.
I've never seen khaki shorts so short on a man. This man who was saying these things.
That's not surprising. You was that your number one loser?
No, okay, number one loser, Nevada, biggest loser of the tournament. You got you come in, you know, preseason top eight, whatever. You're talking Final Four, blah blah blah. You kind of were average all year, and then Jordan, Caroline, Caleb, the Martin twins. You don't even get out of the first round. You lose to a 15-loss Florida team. Yeah. You're pathetic, yeah. Nevada.
Caleb Martin can go to hell.
You're pathetic.
That was my Elite Eight team, and he can go right to hell.
Agreed.
No showed on the biggest stage. My losers of the weekend, number three, got to go with Fletcher McGee. Same reason. You're the all-time leading three-point maker, and then you go 0 for 12.
Oh, yeah.
And the biggest game of your life, you could have – Kentucky was ripe to be beaten. You almost beat them by going 0 for 12. You maybe should have just gone 0 for 10. Maybe give it to the – was it Hoover? Was that kid's name? Because Hoover was balling. Maybe pass the ball.
Murphy,
maybe
number
pass
five.
It to one of those other white guys and let them shoot. Because Fletcher McGee, you sucked.
That's
you cost your team
one.
The game.
I forgot about him. Good.
He might be the biggest loser of the weekend. Number
is.
Two, the Boston Celtics. Bad weekend for them. They went on a 22-5 run to beat up by 18 points against the Charlotte Hornets with 8 minutes left. Then they gave up a 30-5 run to lose to the Charlotte Hornets. A 30-5 run over the last 8 minutes of the game. Then they followed that up by losing last night to the Spurs. The Spurs dominated them, blew them out. The Celtics, smack dab, 2 games behind the Pacers for the 4 seed. So it looks like Boston is going to have to start the NBA playoffs on the road. That could still change, but right now Boston 2 games back of having home court advantage in the first round. Bad loss for them, and we've already talked about it, my biggest loser of the weekend, the big baller brand. LeVar Ball. Taking an L. Lonzo has to take an L because he lost $1.5 million. It's just a bad look for everybody. They are the biggest loser of the weekend. Travis McKinney of the McKinney team joins us next for a little buy or sell. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program, pleased to be joined by Travis McKinney of the McKinney team. First and foremost, shout out to you. Thanks for taking care of all of us. This weekend at Elkmont, you giving away door prizes, giving away appetizers, drinks, and it was a really fun time both games. So shout out to you.
Thank you. Yeah, we had a great time out there. Big turnout yesterday. It was awesome to watch that game. Expect another turnout Thursday. Come up back. It's the perfect time, 7:30. Perfect game time. Looking forward to seeing everybody again.
Now, on Friday, right before you left, you gave the word to the people at Elkmont to make sure to take care of the big guy, Cody McClure. You said me and Cody.
I said John and Cody,
yep. By the way, we really appreciated.
Yes, we did.
I was like, no, I'm going to go home. But I told you as you were leaving, I don't know if I think that's a good idea. Cody immediately looked to me as you walked off and said, well, that was really good news to hear.
Yeah, so that was at, what time was that on Friday? We played at 2?
And you had an appointment. You had to go out of town. So you left at halftime, which, by the way, I was really getting ready to say, you left at halftime when we were up like 14 or 15 points, and then
we gave it up.
Everything went to hell. And I was like, well, Travis is going to leave a winner, but not going to see the collapse. And that was probably at what, 3:30, 4 o'clock?
That was. We were done. I left about 3:34, and then I know that one of my friends had to come back to Elkmont that night for a birthday party, and Cody was still there on the McKinney team tabs.
That was like, 8 o'clock maybe?
And then he was not there yesterday, so I don't know if he was still paying for the Friday festivities.
That was my plan, was to not show up yesterday so that, to make up for Friday.
Yeah.
Right.
If you take the 2-day average, he only drank probably $50 a day worth on you. So
that's right.
Probably. Yeah.
I won't about it though, you know that's what we're there for. It was a good time. I wanted everybody to have a good time, and it seems like everybody did. We had a ton of entries giving away that Yeti Hopper as soon as Tennessee wins it all or is eliminated.
Wins it all.
So we've had well over 100 entries into that.
Nice.
Elkmont did a great job. Come back out again Thursday. It's going to be should be a good turnout.
Yep, Thursday we'll be there again, registering, like he said, for the Yeti cooler and hanging out, fellowship, and watching the game. What's your temperature right now when it comes to this Tennessee team? Are you worried or are you happy? Because, A, they looked really good in the first half. They showed that they, hey, can still play Final Four level basketball. Second half, obviously, played really poorly for about 17 minutes, but then, you know, last couple minutes and then overtime, did enough to win, showed some championship resolve. Are you glass half full, glass half empty right now?
I think, yeah, they do show resolve. They do not give up. I think they're just made to go a long ways in this tournament. Very experienced players. I know you guys have talked about it earlier today, but Admiral Schofield basically saying he's not going to go in is just – I mean, that's just really incredible. You're not going to see hardly any big-time names like that ever sit on a bench in overtime when they know they're not the right person that needs to be in the game. That was really remarkable that Barnes even listened to him. I'm surprised he just didn't shove him in the game. But
buy or sell. We like to play this game with you because you're the man that we want people to talk to if they're needing to buy or sell their home in Knoxville or the surrounding area. Buy or sell. We would have thought of Admiral differently if Tennessee would have lost that game in overtime. And – you saying, oh, wow, what an amazing gesture would have turned into, wow, scared of the moment.
Yeah, I'm buying that. But, you know, he's the veteran leader on the team, and he knew what was best, and it worked. Well, we dominated in overtime. Kyle had some big rebounds, and that's exactly what he was in there for.
Yeah.
And it exactly what Admiral thought was going to happen. So I'm glad it did.
Yeah, I was still torn on it. I didn't know how to think about that.
It's really hard to think about.
It's one of the things that happens when you play the result. Like, I mean, if Tennessee lost, I think that we'd have looked at Admiral a lot differently and said, wow, you shied away from the biggest moment when your team needed you. When you win, though, you get to kind of write the narrative a little bit differently. You get to say, well, you put the team first. You showed that you didn't have an ego. You showed you had ultimate confidence in your team, which is what we all want our college athletes to have, right? We want them to be humble, and we want them to put winning above everything else. And because Tennessee won, we get to look and say, wow, Grant Williams made some of the clutchest plays of his career in overtime, both on the offensive and defensive end of the court. And Admiral gets a chance to continue to play in the Sweet 16 and make bigger impacts and bigger memories.
Yeah, we've seen him all year be the go-to guy to score at the end, and he does it almost every single time. He's really not failed us. He makes the big threes at the end of games. So he knows he can do it, and he knows he can put up 25, 30 points a game, any game he wants to, but he is a team player for sure, first and foremost. And I think that's why you see this team doing so well, because you've got a lot of guys like him. You know, this is, everybody knows it's a bunch of three-star, no-name guys playing together, and they're playing together at kind of at the right time. Yeah, we had a 25-point lead yesterday and about blew it. It had been the biggest in NCAA tournament history.
Oof, would have been bad news.
And that didn't happen. So I think even Lamonte Turner said he did not want to be a part of that history book.
Me neither. And I don't know.
The mood got a little somber. Then they cranked up Rocky Top on the loudspeaker, got a little better. But
No. Travis, let's keep it real. Let's not lie to the people. Elkmont played the saddest version of Rocky Top I've heard in a long time.
They did do that.
Time.
I asked for Rocky Top, and it was not the
Travis was trying to pump up the morale, like, hey, let's get it going. They came in right when I think I would cut to 11, maybe.
Yep.
I get the over 8 timeout, and they came in, or maybe the 12-minute timeout, and tried to play that, and in a room of like 60 people, you got maybe 3 woos, and 2 of them were me and you. So I think it was just me, you, and my friend Marwan who actually wooed.
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad. You know, and give all the credit to Iowa. If you ever played basketball, you know when you're down like that, 25 points, you're playing really every 3 minutes as a game, and you try to win every 3, and they kept winning every 3 minutes, and you just knew – when you're down 10, 12, maybe you play the every 4 minute, every timeouts, the media timeouts. But when you're down like that, they just kept winning those small segments. And, boy, it got scary there.
But all's well that ends okay, and Tennessee is
moving on
to the Sweet 16. All right, let's play some buy or sell. Buy or sell, 3 number one seeds will make the Final Four.
Pull my bracket here. Sell.
You're selling. Cody, your initial takeaway, buy or sell 3 number one seeds in the Final Four.
I'll buy that, John.
At least 3.
Duke, Gonzaga, North Carolina, all going to be there.
You still feel good about all 3 of those?
I do. Buying that all day long. I think Tennessee honestly has the best chance of the 2 seeds to come out of their region. Because Duke will beat Michigan State. I do like Kentucky, but going with North Carolina there.
Well, yeah. Kentucky needs P.J. Washington right. back before that's, I feel confident about their chances.
That's the key with them.
Changing mine to a bye also. Just pulled my bracket up. I do have Duke, Gonzaga, UNC, and Tennessee.
Yeah, so, I like how right. I like how right before we started this segment, you just casually dropped in, still having all 16 Sweet 16 teams.
It was false. I have 15.
Oh, so, fake news. All right,
Ben.
Ben Lee trying to drop 16. The humble brag, and Travis like, yeah, me too. I got 16 too.
Apparently, Ben Lee has all 16.
He has 16. It's pretty impressive.
How has that not come up yet on the show? How have you not dropped in to tell us that, Ben?
I'm surprised.
Have I successfully trained Ben Lee to not interject with Ben Lee's been more humble the last probably 2 weeks. I think we have finally started humbling Ben Lee. So it's taken a year and a half, but it might start working.
You should have dropped that in the first segment.
I know I would have. I know.
Yeah, that's impressive. 16. Hope you got a good entry. Hope your payout's nice on that bracket. It's looking good.
Buy or sell Tennessee versus Purdue? Tennessee beats Purdue. You buying or selling that?
I'm buying. I mean, you know, I know it's a pick 'em game minus one. Really not sure how that is. You go back and look at Purdue's their season they had. They lost some games to some not very good teams. To me, they're not very impressive. They're in the Sweet 16. We all know anything can happen. It's tournament time. But
and Tennessee only a one-point favorite right now.
Yeah, and so it doesn't – you know, that kind of is a head-scratcher. But compared to our schedules and the wins we've had compared to what they've had. I think we're a dominant team against them. It probably is going to be close again, but we should pull this one out.
Cody, what's your early feeling on that game?
Hey, they look good against Villanova, this is a team that's lost to Minnesota twice this month. This month they've lost twice to Minnesota. Give me Tennessee. I'm buying Tennessee in this one. I feel good about it. Important to remember, John, Rick Barnes coached Tennessee teams 1-0 against Purdue.
Mm-hmm.
never lost.
100%.
Undefeated. Never lost.
Never lost.
I mean, yeah, that goes hand in hand with the stat we gave about, you know, Rick Barnes. When he's been a 1 or 2 seed, he is 3-0 in terms of getting to at least the Elite Eight. So he's performed at least to seed level. I am worried, though, personally about Purdue. We talked a little bit about it in hour one. Like Carson Edwards, their best player, he's been really, really struggling with a back issue. And then all of a sudden against Villanova, came out and hit 9 threes and scored 42 points. And buying or selling, like I'm selling Tennessee having a shutdown defender that can stop somebody whenever they start catching fire. We've struggled with that. And the idea of Carson Edwards having a swag back, having some confidence, really terrifies me as I'm looking at Tennessee and Purdue. We haven't had a stopper all year.
Mm-mm.
We've been worried about it. And we're going up against one of the best guards in the country who has been struggling, who maybe now feels better than ever in terms of maybe finally being out of his slump. That's the one thing that worries me.
I feel like if he just scored 42 against Villanova.
You can't do it again.
You can't replicate that. No, you can't do that back-to-back.
It's like Cody McClure. You can have 15 drinks on one day, but you can't turn around and do it again.
I was hoping
at least not on Travis's tab.
I don't know what time the game slots are on Thursday, but I was hoping it'd be like during the happy hour time to at least help a little bit to offset Cody. Some of our other friends. It was all good. But that's the thing. You know, we were starting Pons there for a long time in the season. That was supposedly to set the tone of the defense, you know, because he's the lockdown defender, but that's not been the case. He's barely played in the last month. So I don't know what you do there.
I thought Pons looked good in his small stretch against Iowa in the first half. Like, I thought he did really defend well. Like, Tennessee really did defend well in the first half. The second half, I don't feel like they defended poorly. I just feel like the turnovers led to too many easy opportunities, and Iowa was able to, like you said, just win 3-minute increments. Mm-hmm. The problem was they were winning by 4 or 5 points. Like that they were winning those early 3-minute timeouts like that.
And this turnover, we were so, you know, Rick Barnes prided himself on this team that their lack of turnovers, and all of a sudden these last 2-3 weeks, we are just turnover prone. I don't know what's going on here. I think Bone needs to handle the ball a little bit more.
I was going to say, it seems like there's a correlation with Lamonte's dribbling and Lamonte having the ball more and Tennessee's turnovers.
Yeah, he's been dribbling a lot more, bringing it up the court, which it does free Bone up to probably score a little bit more, because that little corner jump shot he has at the free throw line is basically automatic, so it allows him to get in space. But, you know, and Lamonte on the defensive end, when it comes down to those final few minutes, he is all over the guys. I am impressed with his energy levels that late in the game. He can really turn it on the defensive end. So, but he is a little bit turnover prone. It's kind of getting his shot still not quite there. He's made a couple big ones, I know, but you know, still I think Bone needs to control the ball a little bit more.
Last buy or sell of the afternoon. Buy or sell on Thursday night as you are headed to Las Vegas. Travis McKinney is going to have some FOMO about missing the party and missing the Tennessee game at Elkmont.
I am. I had a really good time on Friday Friday and Sunday there yesterday, and really want to be there Thursday night, but I do have prior engagements, so you'll get the better looking half of the McKinney team there to handle the party, and so it'll be a great time. Though, still expect a huge turnout.
Now, Cody, yes. She might not be as kind to you. She might try to keep you on a shorter leash. Just fair warning. But Travis, appreciate you coming in, playing buy or sell with us. Tell our listeners where they can find you, how they can contact you if they are in the market to buy or sell their home this spring or summer as the housing market warms up.
You can reach us at ZillowKnoxville.com. You can call me personally, 865-548-8267, and visit us on Facebook. That's where you'll learn about all these contests, and Twitter at the McKinney team handle. Facebook is Travis and Emily McKinney, Keller Williams, and you'll learn about where we're going to be entering these contests, winning free tickets, free Yetis, just all kinds of different giveaways and things we do throughout the year.
We appreciate your support here. I appreciate you helping me find a home. I trusted you to do it. I implore my listeners to do the same, Travis. Hopefully we are celebrating a Final Four appearance. Are you going to be back Monday? Are you going back?
Yep.
Okay.
So it'll be great to be back, and hopefully we'll be talking about the Final Four. That's
last call on the other side. Travis, appreciate you coming in. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Our friends at Volunteer Vodka, award-winning vodka distilled in the hills of Tennessee. I was actually talking to TC earlier today about trying to get something shaking for the orange and white game. Hopefully we can do that. Hopefully we can have a big party there as well and get you guys familiar with the people at Volunteer Vodka, because when you meet the people, you'll like the beverage that much more. Last call. Pump the brakes or keep rolling. Cody Mack, you want to go first or second?
I can go first.
Got a better, a gambler from DK, I guess that's DraftKings Sportsbook. It's a pretty crazy parlay. He picked correctly the total. That's the over-under. He picked correctly the total and the side in seven NCAA tournament games on Saturday to win a 14-team parlay. And usually when you hear these big parlays, it's always like, well, I took a minus 300 money line. I took a minus 500 money line. Nope, this was the side and the total. He had a 14-team parlay. Would you like to know how much money he won or how much money he bet?
That seems like a key part of the story.
He risked 14 cents on the parlay.
Oh, I bet he regrets that now.
I'm guessing he probably only had 14 cents in his account.
Yeah,
or maybe he had like maybe he's OCD and he had to have even numbers, because if that's the case and he had like say $100.14, he's like, I just really need to spend this 14 cents. I'll just do this big parlay. That then you'd be sick. Either way, you might be sick.
I'd be sick either way because he probably had more money he could have used.
You're like, I won $1,345, but if I'd have made that just $14, we're looking at what? $134,000. Is that right?
So he still won $1,300.
Well, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Imagine if he'd have bet 86 more cents and just made it a dollar.
Bet $20, you know.
Sometimes the OCD thing, comes out and bites you in the ass if that's the case. Maybe he was down to his last 14 cents and this is, a comeback of epic proportions.
You put 20 bucks on that, you could probably quit your job.
Yeah, I mean, what's 14? I mean, do some math for me, Ben Lee. $1,345.78 divided by 14 cents. Is that what you would do to see how many times that is, right?
Divide that by 0.14.
Yeah.
9,612 and 71.71.
So it's, is that right? It's 9,000 times more what he bet? Is that right? Okay, I guess that would be right. So a dollar would win $9,000?
Be about right.
Yeah, I guess so.
Sounds right.
You said 13.45.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically 14 cents is basically 1/6 of a dollar, right?
You did times 0.14, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, 14 cents is basically 1/6 of a dollar, so.
I did divide it by. Is it times?
I feel like we did the math.
What did it come out to, Ben?
9,678 or something like that.
9,678, and then you times that by, say, you spend $20 on it. It's $193,560.
Yeah.
So you couldn't really quit your job, but still.
Quit for a little while.
That's a nice year salary.
You can quit for a while. I mean, yeah, pretty nice.
So the 9,001 odds, is that basically what it came out to?
Essentially. That's what Ben says.
So yeah. Ben was right, yeah. So about 9,400 to 1.
Not bad.
Yeah. I would have liked to at least put like $5 on that. And if I was going to win something like that, I mean, again, it's a 14-team parlay. I get it, but if it was his last 14 cents, it might have been his last 14 cents till his next paycheck. Maybe he couldn't afford to deposit more.
Well,
maybe
now
he's happy.
Now he can afford to gamble some more. Enterprise employee says his coworkers had negative energy, so he tried to get them pumped up. With LSD, police say. A Missouri employee at an Enterprise rent-a-car said he spiked 3 co-workers' drinks with LSD because they were giving off negative energy. Police began investigating the unidentified man this week after officers were called to the rental car location after 2 people felt dizzy and shaky for an unexplained reason. The workers were taken to urgent care before being transferred to the hospital. The 19-year-old employee was questioned, and he admitted, yes, he put LSD into their water bottles and a third into an employee's coffee because they had negative energy and he wanted to make the day a bit more interesting.
I dig it.
The employees were okay after the drug's effects wore off. He could face charges of second-degree assault. I mean, getting somebody high can't be the worst thing that you could do to someone.
Not if they don't want to get high, though. That's why.
I mean, assault, though?
That seems like a really steep thing.
I think making someone unexpectedly trip on LSD is a little bit different than getting someone accidentally high.
That's true.
I mean, you're getting a form of high.
This isn't a contact buzz. This is a, oh, my God, where is that dragon coming from?
Daenerys! Yeah.
Yeah, when you put it that way.
I guess so. It's not like
that's psychological.
Little...
That's psychological damage, yeah. Got a stat on Americans and shopping while drunk.
I'm Michael Jordan. Stop it.
Do you ever buy things when you're drunk? Do you? I mean, do you shop when you're drunk? Like, I don't really shop when I drink. Like, maybe I'll buy some food, but as far as, like, shopping, I don't really spend any money. But I am in the minority because last year, Americans spent over $39 billion while drunk shopping last year. That was I want to say like a 20% increase from the year before.
I don't ever buy anything drunk, except more drinks. Never had a problem with shopping, like online shopping or anything.
Millennials are spending $1,047 a year drunk shopping, as opposed to $466 for baby boomers and $469 for Generation X. I like the baby boomer getting really drunk, clicking on the Facebook ad store and just buying a bunch of those family name shirts from Facebook.
I could use a new pocket knife.
That'll do it for us. Stay locked in. It's Optionals up next. Ben Lee's sitting in with Trey Wallace. It'll be a good show.